The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I take the same route every single day, in and out of the city. I don't live very far, just 30 or so minutes, out in the quiet suburbs. The road I took was always quiet at night, which was a huge relief compared to the traffic there was during the day. I was driving on this road, and everything was going just as it always did. It was a little past 10 p.m. I was listening to my music and happy to be almost home. When I was 10 minutes away and entering the woodsy area just before the start of the suburbs, a light beamed from up the road. Nothing was off at first, but as it got closer, it seemed to be really bright, like almost blinding me. I literally had to stare at the shoulder of the road to make sure I stayed in my lane. But just as I thought they were going to pass me, I suddenly could see a glimpse of their tires right in my lane. They were driving on the wrong side of the road, about to head-on collision with me. My reflexes took over, and I swerved to the right, immediately flying off the road and slamming into the ditch that bordered the woods. It took me a few seconds to gather myself, but I didn't seem to be very injured or anything. I unbuckled my seatbelt and jumped out of the car. It was totaled for sure. The whole front was pretty much ripped off, and it honestly looked like I should have died in there. Then I remembered what happened and immediately got pissed off. I climbed out of the ditch and looked down the road. I expected to see their headlights fading out in the distance, but I was surprised. They had stopped and pulled over not too far down. Before approaching them, I quickly looked at my surroundings and realized how secluded we were. So before confronting them, I ran back down to my car and got my phone, calling the police. I didn't know who was in that car up there, or if they were drunk and angry or something, so I figured I'd play it safe. The operator said they would be here in 5 minutes, so I hung up and started to walk back up the ditch, but was startled by a guy now standing at the top. He didn't ask if I was okay, or say anything at all.
"Are you the one that made me crash? You could have killed me,"
I said, trying to hold back my anger until the cops arrived. He still didn't speak, but the light from his car on the road suddenly started getting brighter and coming toward where he was standing. I was still in the ditch, but could see that it was the same car, and someone else was driving it. They backed up right to the edge of the ditch. Then the driver door swung open and another guy got out. The two men started talking in a different language. I think it was Russian or German. I'm not good with languages, but it had that aggressive sound to it. As they talked, the one guy rushed around to the back of the car and threw open the trunk. But instead of grabbing anything, he turned to face me. Both of them immediately came running at me, down into the ditch. It didn't take me more than a split second to put the pieces together. I turned around and sprinted into the woods as the men ran around my car and continued chasing me. They were both large and heavier looking men, so after a good minute of sprinting, I'd lost them. Now, I was in the middle of the woods, with absolutely no light to see where I was going. I didn't even know which direction was which. With no sounds of the men nearby, I aimlessly wandered through the trees. I wasn't trying to get back to the road while the men were still around, but I also didn't want to get completely lost so that the police wouldn't be able to help me. After only a couple minutes of walking, though, I could hear the sirens in the distance to my left. I followed the sound, leading me straight to the road, where I could see the cop car at the top of the ditch and two officers inspecting my car. There were no signs of the men anywhere. I explained what happened, and they wrote down a report, but the follow-up investigation was minimal, since only their description was to go off of. Nothing was stolen from my car, though. It's pretty blatant that they were trying to throw me in their trunk, but whether that was planned before or after the crash is unclear. Maybe they made a mistake and were trying to cover it up, or it could have all been just as they intended.
Hi. I'm writing this today because I love your channel, and I thought it might be a great opportunity to share my story. I have short hair, snake bite piercings, a septum piercing, a nose piercing, and I wear oversized men's clothes, as that's what I'm most comfortable in. I have no problem with people viewing me as masculine, so it was my first day in 11th grade. I was having lunch with my best friend Sally when she gestured to a boy sitting next to us. His name was Henry, and everyone knew him to be the big bully since middle school. Surprisingly, I noticed Henry staring at me with a creepy smile. I never talked to him before, so I felt weird when he smiled at me. The rest of the day, wherever I went, Henry's eyes followed me. When the last class bell rang, and it was time to go home, I got a call from my dad saying that he was going to visit my uncle at the hospital battling cancer. Meaning, I was going to be home alone, as my mom was at work and my older sister was sleeping over at her boyfriend's house. I got off the bus and began walking home. I live in a small town, so the side roads are almost always empty. But as I was walking past an alleyway, someone grabbed my arm and pulled me over. It was Henry. Before I could even process what was happening, Henry kissed me. I pushed him away and he screamed. "What? You were smiling at me, remember? I thought we shared a moment." I was shocked, realizing how delusional this guy was. I yelled back at him. "No, you're the one who smiled. And FYI, I'm into girls." I saw the anger in his eyes as he just said "fine" in annoyance and stormed off. I took a second to process what just happened before I continued walking home. I didn't share this with my parents and went to bed after watching Walking Dead reruns. I usually sleep with one window open for cross ventilation. Around 3 a.m., I heard a quiet noise. Now, I have a guinea pig, so I'm used to noises, but this one sounded different. I immediately became alarmed and slowly looking around the room. Someone was crawling through the window and entering my bedroom. Seeing an intruder, the normal reaction should be screaming, but I was too shaken by this. I laid on the bed, frozen like a mummy, when the man stopped and turned to me. He stood still and watched for a few seconds, but all of a sudden, picked up speed and ran right at me. Before I could scream, he placed his hand on my mouth. Then, when I realized that it was Henry. Luckily, my dad was still awake downstairs, and he saw someone jumping our fence from our living room. He slammed through the door of my room so hard that Henry's face turned pale. He tried to jump out through the window and escape, but my dad grabbed his t-shirt and pulled him back in. The police arrested Henry and took him away in handcuffs. I hugged my mom while struggling to hold back my tears. I was so scared, and I didn't know that he wanted or even knew how he knew my address. But I figured that he must have followed me home. The next morning, I woke up and called my best friend to tell them about this incident, but she didn't pick up. I wasn't too concerned about it, as she often slept in, so I decided to just get ready for school and wait for her there. The day passed, and she never came, so I tried calling her, but she didn't answer again. I figured that she was still sick and decided to go to her house to see if everything was okay. When I made it to her house, I knocked, but no one answered. Her parents were out on a business trip, and she was supposed to be home alone. I called her again. I could hear her phone ringing inside the house. I tried the door and noticed that the door was unlocked, so I went inside. I called out to her so she would know that I was there, but there was no response. I walked up the stairs and into her room, and I was mortified by what I saw. There she was, lying unconscious on her bed, and someone scribbled this on her wall. Once she's gone, you'll be all mine. I called my parents, and they called for a paramedic. Sally was rushed to the hospital. The doctors said that she fainted out of shock. I immediately thought that it had to be Henry who did this. But then I remembered that he was under police custody right now. 2 days later, when Sally was a little bit better, she told the cops that a guy named Zach from school had snuck into her house with a knife and threatened to kill her. His demeanor was that of like a psycho, which terrorized Sally as she fainted. I didn't know what he wanted, but Zach kept saying one thing repeatedly. I have to do this for my best friend. I promised Henry. Zach was eventually arrested and put behind bars for being an accomplice of Henry. It was found later that Henry brainwashed Zach and told him to be on board with his plan. Henry wanted me to be his girlfriend, but when I rejected him, he didn't handle the rejection well. It's scary to think that Zach was so obsessed about his friendship with Henry that he didn't even think of the consequences before breaking into Sally's house. Sally and I filed for restraining orders against Henry and Zach because, sadly, they haven't done enough to stay behind bars forever. But judging their mental condition and evil intentions, I wouldn't be shocked if these two turned out to be terrifying criminals in the future.
My name is John. I'm 23. I work at a 24/7 bar in my town that's known for our pizza and drinks. We don't really have any other food options, but people seem to enjoy it anyway. I never understood why the owners decided they wanted us to deliver pizzas. It's a lot of hassle for probably not that much extra money. But since we didn't really get that many delivery orders, I was always the only driver during the 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. shift. On this night, I walked into the place being pretty crowded. There were several large groups, and with deliveries being slow, I was helping out with waiting tables in the meantime. There were a few deliveries I made, maybe once an hour, and at 3 a.m. there was another regular delivery for me to drop off. I grabbed the single pizza and got in my car. The address was 15 minutes away. So I typed it into Google Maps and started driving. Everything up until this point was completely normal. This was just like any other delivery, and honestly, I was happy to get out of the crowded bar and onto the quiet roads. While driving, though, I got caught off guard when my Google Maps suddenly said I'd arrived. I wasn't even in a neighborhood. I pulled over on the curb and tried to figure out where I'd gone wrong. But double-checking everything, this was the address that was on the order. It was for the entrance to a forest preserve or park or something. There weren't even any houses nearby that it could have been mixed up with, so I called the customer's number. It rang for less than a second before they picked up.
Hey, this is John. I'm just trying to deliver your pizza, but I think you've given us the wrong address.
There was a strangely long pause as I could hear the guy breathing into the phone before he described my car and said to look to my left. I did as he said and literally saw nothing but a completely pitch black forest. Then I saw something move. It was him, waving his arms in the air to get my attention. He was standing in the forest behind the road. I don't know why he didn't just come onto the side of the road where it was easier to see, or even why he ordered it here to begin with. I got out and started walking over. It was hard not to notice how eerily quiet it was outside next to this forest preserve. There were no cars anywhere and no other people. I found it really odd too that as I walked up, the guy didn't move. Like, he didn't meet me halfway. He just stood there and watched me walk across the street and up to the grass just before the edge of the forest where he was at. I stopped halfway through the grass, realizing this was getting really weird. I waved him over to come grab the pizza and pay for it. The guy hesitated, and instead of walking up to me, he looked behind me and on either side, pretty obviously looking for any bystanders. My nerves were really high at this point, which made it hard to think straight. If my mind was clear, I definitely would have just taken off for my car and left. Before I could come to my senses, the guy started approaching me. He was walking really fast and didn't slow down when he got closer. I stumbled back, but it was too late. The guy grabbed my upper arm and started pulling me back toward the forest. He was clearly trying to be quiet though, not yelling or anything, but instead putting all of his efforts into forcing me back. We struggled back and forth for several seconds before I realized I couldn't break free and started punching instead. It only took a few clean shots to his face before he let go, and by then, we were only a few feet from the forest. I took off running, looking back only to check if he was following. I saw him get up and run into the forest, but to my horror, two other guys came out from behind the trees. I got in my car and drove straight to the police station that was on the other side of the block, but obviously the guys had completely run off by then. I actually went back to work after that, explaining what happened to my boss and asking if he had any info on the guy's order. All he had was a phone number, which was already disconnected, and a first name that was most likely fake. After that, he sent me home early with a free slice of pizza, which wasn't exactly a fair trade, but I wasn't complaining. If I'd been dumb enough to walk up to the forest that night, I probably would have been instantly jumped by all three men with no witnesses. Luckily, my hesitance to approach him made it an easier fight to escape, but it very quickly could have turned into something far worse. I'm a terrible long-distance driver. I just wanted to put that out there to begin with, because my inexperience really shows. I almost never drive more than 30 minutes at a time, but for work, I had to make a 10-hour drive from my small hometown of Brawley all the way up to San Francisco, where our main office was. I'd been with the company for less than 6 months, working remotely, so this was my first time making this drive. Unfortunately, the way there wasn't through the beautiful California coastal highway either. It takes the lesser-used highway on the opposite edge of the state, going through the empty deserts and smaller cities for the most part. Again, I'd never taken this route before, so this was all new to me. I set up my GPS and started driving at 6 p.m. This would be so that I could hopefully make it right at check-in time at the hotel, which was 3 p.m. the next day. The first hour of the drive was through my town, and it slowly dwindled down to just a few buildings here and there, and eventually nothing. There also weren't really any other cars. About 3 hours in, I passed a gas station, and it reminded me to check on my tank. I looked at the meter and noticed it was getting close to running out. Actually, it was really close to running out. Driving for this long on a boring empty road made me space out and not pay attention to it. I figured I was good enough to wait until the next gas station though, so for the next 20 minutes, I had my eyes open for any gas station exits. But as every mile passed with no gas station, I started to worry. That feeling of dread came over me for being so stupid to have let myself get this low on gas in the middle of a desert. I could feel my car start to jerk randomly and stutter, so I knew this was really bad. Just as I was thinking that my car was going to shut off at any second, I saw someone's headlights on the side of the road. It looked like a police car monitoring the highway. So with pretty much no choice, I pulled off onto the shoulder and parked a little ways behind them. I was hoping they had a gas canister I could use. I got out and started walking up to their car. It had a spotlight by the driver's side mirror and a light bar on the roof. So from behind, it looked exactly like a police car. But as I got closer, I wasn't so sure. Either way, I needed help. And by now, I assumed they had to have seen me walking up anyway. When I got up to the side of the car, it was clearly a police car, but not one in service. Like, probably an old one that someone had bought after the police markings and other stuff were removed. When I got up to the window, though, nobody was inside. But it didn't look abandoned, either. The inside looked relatively clean. And there was even a grocery bag on the passenger seat with what looked like food and snacks in it. Something about this was really off, though. I looked up and out at the surrounding desert. It was really dark and mostly empty aside from some stray cactus, but it only took me a second to notice something moving out there. They were pretty far from the road, so I couldn't tell what they were doing. But there was definitely a person out there, moving around. Knowing this wasn't going to go the way I expected, I was going to go back to my car and try to call 911, or maybe roadside assistance. But the figure suddenly stopped moving and stood still. It was like they had noticed me and were suddenly looking over. I didn't know what to do, so I kind of just stood there. Then the person started rushing toward the road. I took this opportunity to run back to my car. The man must have been full on sprinting though, because by the time I was in my driver's seat, they were already at the road. They stood by their car and stared at me, and I could now see their face in my headlights. They had short black hair and a black beard, with dirt and sand covering their entire body, from their shoes all the way up to their face. I couldn't tell if he looked mad or what, but he stood like a deer in headlights, as if waiting for me to either drive away or get out. I was too scared to try starting my car, because if it stuttered and he heard that, then he'd know I was stuck. So I sat there and just tried over and over to call 911. By the time I finally got through, the man had gotten in his car, and a minute later, he drove away, leaving his headlights off and disappearing down the road. As for afterward, an officer made it 30 minutes later and poured a few gallons of gas in my car. I told them about the man who was acting really suspicious and was out in the desert, but he mostly brushed it off and didn't even check on it. He even joked that he was burying a body out there and acted like it was nothing. I was so shaken up though that I didn't put up much of a fight and just continued my drive. It's been a while since this all took place, but I can't stop thinking about what that man was doing out there or possibly how close I was to discovering something.
I'm a 29-year-old female, and this happened to me when I was 14. My brother and I went to hang out in the mall with his friends on a weekend. I was the only girl in a boys' group, so I mostly stayed on my phone. I am very introverted as well. I was getting bored and feeling somewhat ignored, so I told my brother if he could drop me home. He told me he'll leave after some time. Since we lived far away from the mall, I had to wait for my brother. But at the same time, I was so angry with him that I cut off from the group and started roaming around on my own. I was checking some stores while casually walking through when I made eye contact with a man. He seemed to be in his late 40s. He quickly walked up to me and asked, "Are you alone here?" As much as I've had creepy guys hitting on me, his eerie tone just added to that experience. I politely said, "No, I'm with my friends," and started to walk away. He started walking with me. "But seems like your friends bailed on you, pretty girl." I groaned and replied, "Yeah, that's why I'm on my own." "Well, people can be jerks, but that shouldn't limit us from having fun." He smiled big while saying this. Now, before you judge me, please keep in mind that I was only 14 and really mad at my brother for ruining my weekend. I asked him if he knew anything fun to do around the mall, and he said there's a newly opened gaming zone. I looked at the food court far away where I could see my brother laughing and having a good time with his friends. I whispered, "A-hole," and then agreed to go to the gaming zone with that man. It was my first time in that mall, so when he said we'd need to go to the basement, as that's where the gaming zone is, I believed him. I really wish I hadn't. We got into the elevator with a bunch of other people. I'm sure they thought the man to be my guardian, so no one bothered that a 14-year-old was following a stranger to the mall basement. One by one, everyone got off, and on the ground floor, the elevator was empty. The man pressed the button to the basement, and we came down to the parking lot. The moment I got off the elevator, my heart skipped a beat.
"Are you sure there's a gaming zone here?" I asked him.
He smiled even bigger and said that the place was under construction, but he had the key to the virtual car racing machine. I nodded, not knowing how deep I was drowning in his lies. He started walking into the dimly lit basement, and I began following him, not knowing what I should do. I thought to text my brother, but there was no network in the basement as well. Now the man started saying how I would enjoy the racing game since there'd be no one to disturb me. Soon, his words started to sound alarming, with creepy double meanings hidden in them. As he said, "The car racing machine is so big and I'll enjoy it riding for hours." Yeah, exactly that's what he said. We were almost halfway into the basement, and I was constantly looking back to notice how far the elevator was getting from me. A bubbling feeling that something was very wrong suddenly kicked into my stomach, and I stopped saying,
"My brother just texted me. Looks like I'll have to come some other time. See you later, mister."
I quickly turned around and started walking back to the elevator. I was walking fast, but also couldn't run because I didn't want to give him the idea that I'd panicked. Suddenly, I heard footsteps rushing towards me, and looking back, I saw him running at me full speed. His face was filled with rage and anger as he yelled at me to stop. That's when I made a run for the elevator. I almost bumped into the closed elevator door and started pressing the button like crazy.
"Please come down before he gets me."
I remember praying this to God. The man was inches away when the elevator door opened, and my brother, with his three friends, stood inside.
"What the hell are you doing here? Jimmy said he saw you with some man in the elevator," What's going on? My brother sounded really worried, and I glanced back to point at that creepy dude. But he was nowhere to be found. I'm sure he took off realizing my brother had come to get me. I told my brother about this man, and he took me to the mall security to inform them about this shady old guy. I just hope he's not lurking there, looking for some underage kid to take them to the basement to try his made-up gaming machine.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus, terms and conditions apply.